those fine songs tonight. I did promise Joe that I'd do one thing before we get started here. And it's something that I'm going to admit to you that I completely forgot about until he came into my office tonight to remind me about it. But if you remember last week, Joe gave us some homework. I couldn't remember what it was. But it was to do a good deed every single day. He wanted to see a show of hands of who did their homework last week. I do see a few. I see a few. I can't really raise my hand, but I'm glad that a few of you remembered. I hope as we go throughout the course of this that the rest of you will remember, because we are going to be getting some more homework at the end of tonight's lesson. As we study these seven characteristics, I think there's very, very important reasons, very important logic, sometimes to the order of things, and this is no different. As we see knowledge coming after goodness, after zeal for the Lord. It's one thing to have zeal. It's another thing to have the knowledge of how to control it, how to focus it, how to use it in the right ways. And so Peter tells us here to add to our goodness knowledge. And in thinking about knowledge, I got to thinking about little children. Kids ask all kinds of questions. Probably one of my favorites came from one of my little cousins here. The day that I was interviewing for the position here at Sunset, she walks up to me and looks me square in the eye and goes, "How did you know that you were our cousin?" And that's the way kids are. They have all kinds of questions. When moms are pregnant, maybe with a second child, they ask innocently, "Mom, why is your tummy so big?" And mom might say, "Well, there's a baby in there." "Well, how did the baby get there? You know, where do babies come from?" That's every parent's favorite question, isn't it? As they get older, you know, "Mom, what was the best thing before sliced bread? Why, when it's hot outside, why does the dog's tongue hang out? How does the refrigerator know when to turn the light off when you close the door?" One I was guilty of asking we were driving down the road when I was a little kid. I looked out the window and I saw some cows standing on a hill. And I said, "Mom, why don't the cows roll down the hill while they're standing there?" You know, it's logical. When you're a kid, you roll down the hill. You know, why do we have to go to church? Why do I have to go to school? And as funny as it is, as annoying as it can be sometimes for parents, it really is very innocent. Children just have this incredible desire to know things, to question things, to know how things work. And they want to know it all. There was a movie a few years ago. I don't remember the name of it. I meant to look it up and I forgot to. Was it Baby Geniuses? Yes, that was it. Baby Geniuses, where there was this theory that before kids hit like their coming of age or the age of passage, that they had the answers to all of life's questions, to all of life's problems. Wouldn't that be great if that were the case? But we find ourselves wanting to know things. And you know, if they weren't asking questions, we'd think that there was something wrong with them, wouldn't there? We would think there was something wrong with our child if they didn't ask us 1,000 questions a day. You know, we spend our early years asking questions. Then we hit 4 or 5 years old and we finally get to go to school and we're so excited because we get to learn things like our alphabet. We get to learn how to write. We get to learn how to read. And then after a couple of years of that, we're ready to be done with school. But we keep going and we keep going and we learn more. We finally get to graduate, but then we get to go on to more school. And if you're really brave, you go on and get your master's and doctorate degrees. But after you get all of your degrees and everything that you could possibly imagine, you have to go out into the real world and get a job. And when you get that job, you're learning new things. You know, you have to learn even more new things because you have to learn how to do that job in the right way. Our quest for knowledge in life is never ending. It never stops. From the moment that we learn how to talk to the moment that we're lying, you know, in that casket as the preacher is preaching over us, we have this desire to know things and to ask questions. And so as we turn to the Bible, I want us to see that the desire for knowledge, the quest for knowledge, actually started very early in time. Let's look, we're just going to start out in Genesis chapter 1. Adam and Eve, they had a great privilege in life, didn't they? They were the first man and woman on earth. Here God has created this perfect place for them to live. He says, you know, be in the garden. I can walk with you in the garden. What a cool privilege that would have been to have actually been able to walk and talk with God. Just imagine all the questions you could have asked God at that point in time. God blessed them. God looked after them. God took care of them. But he left them with one rule. He says, you cannot eat of that fruit. Genesis chapter 2, 16 and 17. He told them, you may eat of the fruit of any tree in the garden, except the tree that gives knowledge of what is good and what is bad. You must not eat of the fruit of that tree. If you do, you will die the same day. This one rule, this one thing that all they had to do was follow, and they could have had all the knowledge that the world, that God had to offer. You know, I can almost imagine the childlike interest that Adam and Eve probably had with this one tree. This one thing that you're not supposed to do. You know, it's the same way with kids. It's the same way with my dogs, you know. It's that one corner of the yard where you don't want the dogs to go, and that's where they're at all the time. And I could be wrong, but I can almost see this obsession that they might have with this tree, just standing there going, I wonder what that fruit tastes like. I wonder if it's good. You know, I wonder, you know, if it's got the knowledge of what's good and what's bad. You know, what could there possibly be out there? And it wasn't long before curiosity got the best of them, with a little help from the devil. And sin entered into the world. And I think we find Adam and Eve committing one of the things that you and I probably do just about every single day of our lives. They were seeking knowledge, yes, but they were seeking it, I think, for all the wrong reasons. It's like one college student that was interviewed several years ago in Santa Monica. He told the person, he said that he was interested in finding out all that he could about religion. But when asked why, he explained that he wanted to expand his education. The student was curious about what motivates religious people to do what they do. But he said that he was not the kind of person who gets up in the morning with a desire to do God's will. It is possible that we, like Christians, do that. You know, we have the desire to learn more about the Bible for reasons other than to know God and to live as he wants us to. Is it possible? I think Adam and Eve might have fallen into this category of wanting knowledge for all the wrong reasons. You know, they wanted knowledge, which is a good thing, but, you know, it was that part that they couldn't have, that they wanted so much. You know, I think a lot of us fall into this same trap. It's trying to gain knowledge for the sake of knowledge. Just the simple fact of knowing something, it doesn't do you any good. Greater knowledge of the Bible does us absolutely no good if we don't know how to apply it. If we don't know how to make it real in our lives. It doesn't mean anything to us if you can give us a book, chapter, and verse, does it? You know? Knowledge for the sake of knowledge is completely useless when it comes to our Christian lives. Our next example that I want us to look at is Solomon. Solomon was given an incredible opportunity by God, wasn't he? As he ascends to the throne in 1 Kings, we find him one night, he's asleep, and God comes to him in a dream. It says, that night the Lord appeared to him in a dream and asked him, "What would you like me to give you?" And Solomon answered, "You always showed great love for my father David, your servant, and he was good, loyal, and honest in his relation with you. And you have continued to show him your great and constant love by giving him a son who today rules in his place. O Lord God, you have let me succeed my father as king, even though I am very young and I don't know how to rule." So basically we find, you know, God has offered Solomon everything. And basically Solomon already has so much in his life to be able to succeed his father David to the throne, to be able to rule that kingdom. But God says, "Solomon, I'll give you anything that you want." And Solomon's reply wasn't that of probably what mine would have been, is like, you know, "Please give me enough money to help pay off my house. Please give me enough money to help pay off my student loans," you know? That's not the request that Solomon has of God. No, he says, "God, give me wisdom, give me knowledge, give me understanding." Verse 8 and 9, his answer to this was fantastic. He says, "Here I am among the people you have chosen to be your own, a people who are so many that they cannot be counted. So give me the wisdom I need to rule your people with justice and to know the difference between good and evil. Otherwise, how would I ever be able to rule this great people of yours?" And the Lord was pleased that Solomon asked for this. His answer to that question of Solomon, what do you want? God, give me wisdom. He says, I'm a young man. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know how to lead these people. Give me the wisdom to do that. And because of that answer, you know, God blessed him for that. What an awesome example that we find of someone who is willing to align himself with the will of God. Someone who's willing to come to God and say, God, I don't know it all. That humble, humble heart that I think so many of us, that for some of us, so many of us, it is hard to find. You know, because we like to think that we know it all. We like to think that we have all the questions or all the answers to life's questions when we really don't. When really what we need to be saying is, God, I don't know what I'm doing. Please, please help me. Please give me the wisdom. Give me the guidance to know these things. What a model of perfection for you and I as far as our pursuit of knowledge in life is that of Solomon. Another example I want us to look at is that of the lawyers. As we turn into the New Testament, we look in Luke chapter 11 as Jesus is passing out his woes. The very last one comes in chapter 11 and verse 52. He says, "How terrible for you teachers of the law! You have kept the key that opens the door to the house of knowledge. You yourselves will not go in, and you stop those who are trying to go in." A woe on those who have the key to knowledge. But they themselves won't go in, and they keep people out. They're pronounced guilty of something absolutely unimaginable to me. Actually keeping people from knowledge. Keeping people from knowing the will of God. We face a very real danger as Christians today, don't we? As churches grow, as churches mature, eventually they find themselves sitting on that pivotal moment where they can choose to go on and do good things for God's will, or they can sit back, as it were, kick back in their lazy boy and just be comfortable. Be glad that the church is here, that people come to church, and that's pretty much the end of it, isn't it? You know, we're just comfortable where we're at. We're okay with putting it on cruise control and just letting it go. It's so tempting to just sit back and do nothing. To be content, you know, we're at the number where we want to be, and that's where we're going to be. You know, we don't want to grow anymore. We don't want to shrink anymore. We just want to be. And unfortunately, there are many, many churches today who get caught right here. They don't want to fight anymore. It's just easier to exist. It was easier for these lawyers to keep people out and to not advance any further than themselves, you know? It's easier to keep it all to ourselves, to keep it all inside this building, and not take our knowledge to those that are around us, to the neighborhoods that are around our church building. It's so much easier to just come to church and punch your time card and walk right back out the door, isn't it? It's easier to do that, to be content with the knowledge that we have. And to be content with not letting anybody else have it. I pray that we, as a church here at Sunset, never get stuck in this position. That we never get caught just treading water. As we continue on, I want us to notice Paul. One of my favorite Bible characters. Paul himself speaks of the desire for us to have knowledge in Colossians chapter 1. If you would, turn a few pages over to that. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9. 9 through 12. Paul writes to the church there, he says, "For this reason, we have always prayed for you ever since we heard about you. We ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will, with all the wisdom and understanding that his Spirit gives you. Then you will be able to live as the Lord wants and will always do what pleases him. Your lives will produce all kinds of good deeds and you will grow in your knowledge of God. May you be made strong with all the strength which comes from his glorious power so that you may be able to endure everything with patience. And with joy, give thanks to the Father who has made you fit to have your share of what God has reserved for his people in the kingdom of light." Knowledge. It's a very comforting thing to me. I can't help but think it was comforting to this church that knowing that Paul was praying for them. And that it's very possible that he was praying for you and I as well. That ever since he heard about us, ever since God told him, you know, Paul, you're going to be my apostle. You're going to tell the world about me. That ever since then, he has been praying for us that God will fill us with the knowledge of his will. The knowledge that it takes to do things that are pleasing to him. You know, we need knowledge. We know what knowledge we need to have that we need to seek as Christians. We need to be careful with what we do with that knowledge that we've been blessed with. And we have been blessed with. We have an entire book, you know, that lets us into the mind of God, that lets us into knowing how God works. We can't just know things for the sake of knowing them. Being smarter than everyone doesn't do us any good if we don't have the ability and the desire to share it. The lawyers ran into that problem. They didn't want to follow the truth. I mean, they kept everyone around them from it as well. May we never be guilty of keeping someone out of the kingdom because we refuse to share the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. This knowledge thing, this is serious, serious business. Because without knowledge, how can we go forward as Christians? How can we expect to be able to grow in our Christian lives? How can we expect to lead those that are around us, our friends, our family members, our coworkers, if we don't have this knowledge? So it's my prayer for you tonight, for all of us tonight, myself included, is that we can fall in line with Solomon's example. That we can humble ourselves tonight in this very room and say, God, I don't know it all. So that when we go into our classes, when we go into our sermons, as Joe is up here speaking, as Dwight is up here speaking, that we can come in here with that humble attitude of, I don't have it all figured out. I need to know more. I want to know more. Because it's very likely that most of us here today don't have it all figured out. You know, from the young to the very old, we don't have it figured out. No matter how long you've been on this earth, how much you've studied your Bible, you don't have it all. There's still things in there that we need to know. As Christians, we can't be content to stop growing. We have to be a worker that's not afraid of our work, 2 Timothy 2:15. We have to be ready to give an answer to the people for the hope that's inside of us, 1 Peter 3:15. We have to be able to do these things, people. Because if we can't, you know, we're going against one of the greatest commandments of God. If we don't have the knowledge to share with other people, you know, we're going head on against the commandment to go into all the world and preach and teach. We have to have knowledge. Don't be afraid to open your Bible. Don't let your Bible just sit on the table by the door, on your dresser, in your bedroom, or don't let it sit underneath the passenger seat of your car during the week. Take it out. Open it up. That's how our knowledge of the Lord and Savior grows. You know, we know what we need to do. And sometimes that's the problem. So our homework for this week is to go home and study your Bible. Study it every single day. Get it out. You know, so we may have to go home and find it, dig it out from underneath the bed. Dig it out from the passenger seat. You know, take it out from under the blanket in the trunk of your car. Read it every day, and I want to challenge you to see how many new things that you discover. Not earth-shattering things, but new truths, new things that God is revealing to you that you have never seen before. Things about God that you didn't know were there before. Things in a story, you know, we've been studying through 2 Samuel on our Sunday mornings. And I tell you, every single time I sit down and open that book, I see things that I didn't notice before. I hope that the same is true with you all. Your homework, study your Bible, find new things, find new truth. Something that is special, something that is meaningful to you. So tonight, maybe you need to come to Him. Maybe you need to begin to seek God with all of your heart. Maybe you need to take on that attitude of humbleness. If there's anything that we can help you with tonight, if you need to be baptized to start your walk, to start your humble walk with Him, I pray that you would do it right now. If there's anything that you've stumbled, that you're struggling with, that we can pray for you, we would love to do that tonight. If there's anything we can help you with, please come as we stand and sing.